Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you again. And I felt very much at home when I came. I felt even more at home when I saw this presentation showing Moldova and our home there. So it's really lovely to be here today and to be able to just give you an update on the work and also to share something from the scripture. It was really a great joy for us to have the team from here with us in May this year. And of course a lot of work was done and that was very encouraging, but also I think we enjoyed the fellowship so much with everybody who came and the opportunity to be involved in some of the outreach activities as you saw in the presentation. And so it was great to have you with us, and we really hope that it won't be too long before another team comes from here, so you'll be very welcome. I think as you already know that, but I'll say again that we'd love to see you again in Moldova. Today I'm going to read and share something from the scripture shortly, but before I do that, I'm just going to give a short update on what's happening in Moldova and some of the things that have been going on since the team was there in May, and also a little bit of news on the progress with the building project that is happening there. But first of all, I just wanted to tell you about the children's camps that we had in July this year. It was really exciting for us to have a lot of children come along from our village, the village of Zanesht, also from Bauch, which is a village about 8 kilometres away, and from 4 or 5 new areas to come along to the camps this year. And for the children, the theme was very exciting. Space station, if you can read your Romanian, it says space station. And down here below the little astronaut, it says, "How great is our God?" And the lessons this year were all sort of related around space and about the greatness of God in creation, the greatness of God to save, and how He is the creator of the universe, but He has an interest in each one of us. And of course, Camp Bethesda, you can see down the bottom. And so we had a lot of people came over to help with the camps. We had a team from Australia. We also had some workers from Canada, up the ladder, Travis from Canada. This brother is from London. His name is Ian, standing ready to be hit on the head with the hammer. We also had workers from Poland and, of course, from Romania and from various other countries, New Zealand as well this year. And it was great to have so many involved in the camp works. This year we had used a place in the centre of our village for the camps. It was given to us by the council of the village to use. And it was really great location because it was so central and had nice trees around, a lot of nice grass for the kids to play on. And we're able to bring this year from the UK a lot of different new resources like jumping castles and trampolines and other things. And so, of course, as you can imagine, the children were delighted. This was in the first week of camp, so all the meetings were held in a marquee that we set up there. And you can see them enjoying the singing. This is one of the little boys. He was at the last week of camp. His name is Daniel. If you've read one of the recent newsletters, you would have read about Daniel because he came from a non-Christian family. And like probably 80% of the children were from non-Christian families. And Daniel got upset one day because he had done this little craft you can see him holding here. It's supposed to be Peter walking on the water. And anyway, they're all out on a table to dry in the sun, and then it started to rain. And so the workers, you know, put them all away under cover. And little Daniel came up and he burst out in tears and he said, "Where's my craft gone? I can't find my craft." And he was crying and crying, and nothing that you could say to him would console this little boy about his lost craft. And so Ruth took him by the hand and they went through these 120 craft, and finally they found the one with Daniel's name on the back, and big smile broke out on his face and he was so happy. But it reminds us, you know, that the children there, how little things that mean so much to them. And I think the team would have noticed, you know, when you go there and you give a child a balloon or something very simple, they appreciate it so much, just as Daniel appreciated coming to the camp and doing this little craft that he did. These are some of the groups at the camp. Usually what happens is when they come at 10 o'clock in the morning, They have a group time together, and a short message is shared, and they sing and do other activities. And then they break up into small groups, and this each group was named after planets, asteroids, and so on. And, of course, they also compete against each other in the groups to win points. And you can see Paul there, that was his group. And some of the craft activities being done, I think that was Peter again. I don't think Peter would ever realised he'd be involved in such things, no, back in those days. This here is in the assembly hall, and if you're on the team, you remember this place very well. And this is where we had the lunches for the children. So they would walk from the campsite each lunchtime, and they would come and have their meals in the hall. And it was quite a squash sometimes, because we had 120 kids at each camp. Well, actually it varied, but the biggest number was 120. And of course there was workers there as well, and so it was a very busy time in the meeting hall. But I think for the children, a very exciting part of the camp was the camp shop. And one of the things that they got throughout the camp was points. And if they memorized their verses well, if they behaved well, they got points. And then they could spend those points on the Friday, the last day of camp, in the camp shop. And of course, if they misbehaved, they lost some points as well. But I have to say, very few children lost any points at all, so they were very well behaved. And so this was the queue for the shop on the Friday afternoon. And there was lots of toys, there was games, there was sweets, there was all sorts of different things there that the children could buy at the camp. At the shop, rather. But one of the most touching things was a little girl who came actually from Zanesht. And she came to the shop and she was looking around. She had won a lot of points, 120 points, about the maximum number that you could get. And anyway, she looked at this very large toy car. And she said to Ruth, who was in the shop, she said, "How many points for the car?" And Ruth said, 120 points. And she said, I'll take it. And Ruth said, "It's a nice car, yeah, but, you know, girls, normally they buy dolls or other things like that. Don't you want something else?" "No," she said, "I want to buy this car for my little brother." Because she said, "My little brother couldn't come to camp. He's too young. But and he's got no toys." And she said, "I want to buy something that I can take home and give to him." And so Ruth said, "But, you know, you've got a lot of points. You can buy a small car and you can buy something for yourself." And she said, "No, I want to buy my brother the best that I can." So we were very touched by the story of this little girl at the camp. Here's another one of the boys that came along, and he got a few things, as you can see there. This was on the last day of camp. We had a couple of workers who dressed up as astronauts. And good American ones too, you can see. And of course, for the kids, this was rather exciting, but they were very shy, a bit frightened of these astronauts. And they really, we had to push them, you know, to have their photo taken. But the funny thing was, it was a Friday evening, and we, on the last day of camp, we invite the parents to come along. And all of the parents, they were flocking in and queued up because they wanted to have their photo taken with the astronauts. So that was quite unusual. But it was really great to see on the Friday evening at 6 o'clock when the camp finished, the parents would arrive and we sent buses to pick some of them up. And we wanted the opportunity, you know, to meet with some of the parents, to be able to share with them what we had been speaking to the children about. And so each week this happened. And you can see here, this is the children at the front and the adults at the back. And it was really lovely to see, on average, about 60 or 70 parents there every Friday evening. And so we gave them a meal first, some food. And then after that, we'd bring them into the tent. The children would present some songs and share some of the memory verses that they had learnt. And then, of course, we had the opportunity to share a gospel message as well. And so this year, it was a very encouraging time at the camps. And we're thankful to the Lord for the opportunity that he gave to be able to share with adults and with the children about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd just like to ask you to pray for that work, and pray for all those children who came, pray for the parents who came along as well, that what they learn, what they heard, that these things will stay in their heart, and that many will come to know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. This is the first group, week one of the camp, and this was children from Kahul, the town nearby, and also from the village of Bauch. The second week was kids from Zanesh, from our village of Zanesh, and the third week was children from Andrushul, which is about 5 or 10 kilometres from where we are, and from some other areas as well. The fourth and the fifth weeks were actually a youth camp. I don't have photos of those here, but Brother Sergei from Russia, he was responsible for those camps. They were Russian-speaking camps, and it was great to see at each about 40 non-Christian young people come along and hear about the Lord Jesus, so we were thankful for that opportunity as well. This photo is taken in the assembly, and I just put that in because a couple of weeks before I came away, we had a very bad storm in our area, and about 7 houses were damaged in the storm, in the floods that followed, and quite a few people lost different things, and we've been trying to help with those needs. But also the assembly was about 1 meter of water. It was like a big swimming pool, a big indoor swimming pool. And mud and all sorts of stuff was washed in there, and we haven't been able to use it since. And of course, winter is coming, and there's not really any good heating in there. So at minus 30 degrees Celsius, which I guess is roughly the same maybe in Fahrenheit, it's very, very cold there in the winter. So please pray for us too, that the Lord will open up another place where we can meet, big enough for us to meet, because with the gospel meetings, a lot of people coming along, the children's meetings, we need a big hall space. And so that's one of the needs at the moment in Moldova. Just a reminder about some of the other projects that we have, the potato fund and also the firewood, particularly the firewood at this time. It's starting to get cold already. Yesterday it was quite cold. Again, I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit, but it was plus 3 or 4 degrees Celsius. So it was quite cold. And so we think this year that it will be a very cold winter in Moldova. And of course, that means for many families it's a very difficult time. Not only do they need firewood to heat their homes, but also they need the food, the potatoes and the food to keep them through the winter months. So you can pray about those needs as well. Also for the soup kitchen work, we are thankful that this continues to go on, and a lot of opportunities to help the elderly people. We've added some new people to that program over the last few months. But I just wanted to share the story of this couple here who live in Kokwara, which is the next village near to us. And we went to visit them because not only do they get help through the soup kitchen, but they also have many medical needs as well. The man, the husband, he has epilepsy, and he has a lot of problems with that. The wife here, she has a problem with her knees and she can't walk anymore. And she was telling us the story that about a couple of months ago he had an epileptic fit, and he fell over, he hit his head, and she called the ambulance service because she was very worried about him. He was unconscious, and they said, "Oh, there's nothing we can do," and they didn't even come to help. And so the next day she took him to the medical clinic, and they said, "Well, how much money do you have?" And they said, "Well, we don't have anything." And they said, "Unless you have money, there's nothing that we can do to help you." And this is very typical, you know, of the problems in Moldova. People should get free medical care, but in reality, it doesn't exist. And so, of course, that's the reason that we would like to open this medical clinic, where to some of the poorest of people in the community, we can provide care for them, and not only medical care, but also be able to reach out to them spiritually as well. They have a very small house in the village of Kokwara. It's got a lot of problems. There's holes in the roof. When it rains, the water comes in. You can see a photo of their kitchen here as well. And as you can imagine, they're very thankful for the help each day through the soup kitchen work. One of the other programs that we've started just recently associated with the soup kitchen work is to provide a clean bedding to some of these people as well. And so we have workers who go out once a week, and they take fresh sheets and covers for the duvets and so on, and they change them over, and then they bring those back, the old ones back, and wash them. And this is done each week. And of course, when we started that program, you know, you, like a lot of things, you start and think, oh, well, you know, you just got to buy sheets and covers and so on. And then we started to look at their beds, and we saw some of them were just falling apart. Then we looked at the mattresses, and some of them were rotten. And so we had to start to replace bedding and mattresses as well. But we hope that through this that it will be something which helps to, just to improve, you know, the conditions of some of the people there in Moldova. About the building, I just wanted to give an update on what is happening with that. A few people have asked me this morning, and for those who don't know about this project, the Lord enabled us to buy this building in Zanesht last year. Actually, we started work on it the year before last. It was an old apartment building which was just empty, really. It hadn't been used for about 18 or 19 years. And when we moved into the building, there was nothing there. Everything had been taken out. It was just an empty shell. And the people who used to live there, they just they stripped it of every single thing that they could take. Here is railings on this particular part of the stairs, but that's the only part. Everywhere else, the metal has been taken away. And the building will be used in various ways. On the ground level will be a medical clinic, as I've mentioned. Also a soup kitchen, a place where people can come, particularly the elderly, can come and have meals each day. There'll be a coffee shop and a bookshop which will be used to reach out to others in the community, like the teachers at the school next door to where this building is located. There'll be offices for things like the Postal Bible School, for the children's work, and associated with that, classrooms which can be used for children's clubs and other meetings. There'll also be a nursing home on the third level which will care for some of the older people. And since I was here last time, one of the things that we've decided to add to the building is this boarding school. So there'll be a lot of things in the building. And we call it a boarding school. It's probably different to what we know in the West as a boarding school. But in in Romania, for a number of years, we've been involved with some Christian people from Germany, from an assembly there. And what they do is they bring children from very poor families. They take them to their place in Romania. And they then give them a good education. They go to the local school for their education, actually, during the day. And then in the afternoon, they come back to their place, and they have other lessons that they wouldn't get at the local school. And they learn a trade. They learn languages, things that will give them a lot more possibilities in the future. And so every year, they have taken children from Moldova to this place in Romania. But the government has stopped issuing visas now to these children, so they can no longer go to Romania. So Matthias, who is responsible for this work, he was visiting us and sharing about this problem. And we thought, well, you know, the Lord has given us such a wonderful facility here. It'd be great if it could be used in this way to help these children as well. And so part of the third level, about half, will be used to accommodate 23 children. They'll come there and live there during the school term. There'll also be a classroom there, and there'll be accommodation for staff who will look after them. And we hope, God willing, that this part of the work will start sometime next year as well. So you can pray about that that work and that outreach to the children there in Moldova. And we're quite excited, you know, to see the way that the Lord can use this place for so many different things and to help with so many different needs in the community. The fourth level, of course, will be for accommodation. The team comes from Western Wake, they can stay there, or from wherever else, and also for Bible study conferences and other things as well, and residences on the fifth level for permanent workers. This is the new roof that was put on the building. An assembly in San Francisco contacted us some time ago, and they said they'd like to help to put the new roof on the building, and so they gave the money to complete that work, and so we're very thankful to the Lord for that provision. Also, all the windows have now been put into the building, and that's really great because it means that the building is all sealed up now from rain or from snow or from anything else. And also we've started to work on the interior of the building, and so a lot of the rooms on the ground level have now been All the walls have been rendered. Soon the floors will be put in, the ceiling and cabling and other things as well. So it's really great to see the progress there, and we're thankful to the Lord for his provision, which has enabled so much to be done so far. So please pray, continue to pray, you know, for the work on the building. We've come to the point now where we can't do a lot more. We're dependent upon the Lord for the resources, and you know, they come in, they get spent, and then we're ready to start again. But as the Lord enables, we will continue that work. So please pray for the project and for the work on the building. Also around the building, we've put a perimeter fence as well, for security, but mainly to keep all the geese and the cows and everything else from wandering into the yard. And that's been almost completed now. So just to show what's been done so far, the roof and the windows, of course. Now we're working on the first stage of the building. The second stage will be the medical centre, and then the third, the third stage will be the rest there. Work that the team completed has really been a great thing for us. You know, I didn't put a photo in of the metal on the roof, I'm sorry about that, but you've probably seen one. But we were so thankful to have the team from here helping with this work in Moldova. And just to show it's all being used, this is the one of the vehicles being fixed in the inspection pit there. So it's been really a great help, that place that you built for us there. And we've now store a lot of timber there as well to keep it dry, ready for distribution during the winter months. Just before I came to the States, I was in Northern Ireland, and just wanted to share with you the way that the Lord provides, you know, for some of the needs. And we visited an assembly up there in just outside Belfast, and the brother had contacted us and he said, look, I got some stuff that you might be able to use. And so we went to his warehouse, and they have an organisation there, a charity called Assembly Serving. And from hospitals in Northern Ireland, they've collected lots of medical equipment and supplies. And you can see some of the stuff here, loads of stuff, some of it's brand new. But they're all beds, which are electrical beds, you know, the latest that you can get. Really wonderful provision for the work. And we said, you know, how many beds do you have? And he said, I got 40. And he said, how many do you need? And I said, we need 40. So it was really wonderful to see the Lord had provided exactly, you know, what was needed for the work there in Moldova. So that's just some of the things. There's furniture, there's lounges, there's uniforms, brand new uniforms for staff, all sorts of different things. So it's so encouraging to see the way that the Lord is bringing the resources that are needed for the work there in the new building. So God willing, we hope to send two 40-foot containers packed with all this stuff in November this year across to Moldova. So just a few prayer points again at the end, pray, or reminders of what I've already said. Pray for the Bethesda Centre and the work that's going on the building, and particularly for the provision of the resources to continue that work. Most importantly, for the gospel work in Moldova. We are so thankful for the opportunity through all of these ministries, and that's really what it's all about, is to make known the name of the Lord Jesus, and that people will come to know him as Lord and Saviour. Some of you who are on the team would remember Diana, who worked in the kitchen. Familiar face, I don't know. I think she was working there at that time. Diana is somebody from our village, and we got to know her through actually moving some stuff from when they were moving house. She asked if we could help. And then she started coming to the gospel meetings, and then we employed her because we needed help in the kitchen. And about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks ago, Diana accepted the Lord Jesus as her Saviour, and she now is coming along to all the meetings at the assembly, which is really wonderful to see. And we thank the Lord for saving her. And her brother Nikolai is also, I think, very close to the point of coming to the Lord. So please pray for Diana, that she'll be encouraged in her walk with the Lord, and for Nikolai, that he will turn to the Lord Jesus. Pray for the Bible, Postal Bible School work. I haven't spoken about that much today, but we continue to have a lot of people that we contact through this ministry. For the workers as well, and some of them you know if you've been over there, but there's many involved, and you can pray for them. for the work in Russia. I think I shared last time a little bit about the rehab center, and that continues to function in Russia. But particularly for the gospel outreach, probably one of the things that I'll be mainly, or will be mainly involved in when I get back to Moldova, is the Christmas outreach. And we go to hospitals and schools and other places to share the gospel and to distribute literature. Also our mothers' packs, for example, to the mothers in the maternity hospital. Calendars go to the shops in the villages. We have a lot of different functions for people at that time, like outreaches to people in the village, like you can see here, and to the children in the village, the Sunday school. And you can pray, please pray for some of those outreach activities which are planned. For Sergei, he comes from Russia, and he's very involved in outreach too, in hospitals, in other places. Also at the fire station we go and have an outreach for the firefighters and for their families, like we had last year in Kahul. So please pray for those things and for the plans for the camps for next year, for 2014. So that's a little brief update on the work in Moldova. Thank you so much for your prayers, for your support, for your practical involvement. We're so glad to have this link, you know, with the assembly here and with those in the assembly. And we look forward to, you know, more contact and visits in the future from you. So thank you very much. There is some literature there. I know you probably all get it now anyway by email, but if you would like some literature or would like to receive the prayer bulletin, there's a place you can write your name down on the sheet. Time goes very quick up here. So. Anyway, today I would like, though, to turn to just some verses in John's Gospel, chapter 13. John 13, and I'd like to read the story of when the Lord Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. So we'll just read from verse 3, John chapter 13 and verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and all that he had come and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Or may the Lord bless his word to us this morning. I'd just like to spend a few minutes in the time that is remaining to just talk a little bit about this great story that we read in John 13 of when the disciple washed the feet of the Lord Jesus. If you go over to the time when the Lord had died and he'd been in the tomb, and then we read about Mary going to the tomb of the Lord Jesus, and you might remember that day that when she got to the tomb, she saw that the stone had been rolled away, and she also saw when she went in that there was angels there and that the grave clothes were folded, you know, in the place where the Lord Jesus lay. And of course, obviously, what she saw that day were amazing things, weren't they? And then it tells us in that passage that she went away from that place and she met the disciples. But before that, she met the Lord Jesus. And then she went and she met the disciples. And you know, I'm always impressed with the words that Mary says there. She simply says to the disciples when she sees them, "I have seen the Lord, and he spoke to me." You know, why those words impressed me very much is that that day Mary had seen many amazing things. You know, if we went to a tomb where someone was meant to be laying dead and we saw the stone rolled away, I'm sure it would be amazing to us. If we went into the tomb and we saw angels, you know, how amazing that would be. But the thing that stood out in the mind of Mary, or that stood out to Mary, was the fact that she had seen the Lord Jesus Christ and that he had spoken to her. You know, as we go through our life as Christians, there's many things that we can be involved in. There's many missions, there's many services, there's many things that we can do for God. But you know, I believe the most important thing that we can ever think about or be concerned about in our walk with the Lord Jesus is our fellowship and our communion with him day by day. You know, can we say, as we come together as a group of the Lord's people, as we come this morning, for example, or as we sit at the feet of the Lord in our quiet time each day, can we say, you know, "I have seen the Lord Jesus, and he has spoken to me"? Because I believe that's the most important thing that we can do, that we can experience in our walk with the Lord Jesus. I just wanted to speak, you know, in relation to that, and why I thought of this passage is the thought of fellowship and communion with God. And you might say, well, what does this washing of the feet of the disciples have to do with it? You know, it was probably a very amazing event for those disciples that took place here. They saw the Lord, the one who was their master, their teacher, and they see him come at the end of the supper, and he takes this towel and he sits down before them, or kneels down before them, and he washes their feet. And then, of course, Peter, when it comes to Peter, you know, Peter was very typical here, as Peter always is. And don't we see so often, you know, features of ourselves in the life of Peter? And Peter says, "Lord, you know, I'm never going to let you wash my feet." And the Lord Jesus says to him, he says, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can have no part with me." You know, I remember many years ago when I was quite a bit younger, hearing this story, and I wondered, you know, what did the Lord mean? What was the Lord speaking about when he said this to Peter? What was the Lord saying when he did this thing to his disciples? What was he trying to teach us? You know, and he asks the question, or he says to the disciples, you know, "What I've done for you, now you won't understand, but in a time you will understand what I'm doing." And that's just what I wanted to think about this morning as we've read this story. What is the Lord Jesus telling us when he did this to the disciple? What does he want us to learn from it? What is the lessons that we need for our lives from what the Lord Jesus did in washing the disciples' feet? Well, I think, you know, four or five years ago, I went over to Israel, actually, for the wedding of a friend in Nazareth. And we went to a place. We had a bit of time, as you often do around weddings. We went to a place in Nazareth called the Nazareth Garden. Very interesting place, because it's run by Christians. And in this garden, they recreate what they believe it was like in Israel at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you go in and you walk around this pathway. And as you go along the pathway, you see the wine press, you see all the animals, you see people in the costumes of the period and so on. Then you go into the synagogue, and it's really a very interesting place to visit. I recommend it if you go to Nazareth sometime. But anyway, when we came to the end of this tour of the garden, we went into a house, what they believe was a typical house of that time. And we went in and we sat down on the floor, and they had olives, and they had olive oil, and they had bread, and they give you a meal like they would have given a meal at the time of the Lord Jesus. And the host, of course, who was all dressed up in the costume of that time, he explains to you, you know, what would have happened at that time. And he said, "This is how we believe it would have been exactly." But he said, there's one thing that we didn't do. And probably because we're all foreigners and dressed and so on, they wouldn't do it. If you had have come to my house back in the Bible time, I would have taken you and I would have washed your feet before we could sit down and we could have communion or fellowship at the dinner table. And he said that was what they always did. And the reason that they did that was, as you walk along all those pathways or those roads to get to my house, it's very dirty, it's very dusty. And the feet of the people as they walk, of course, get defiled or they get dirty by the road that they walk upon. And so as I heard this story, it really brought to me the meaning of what the Lord Jesus was speaking about here in this passage. You know, if we think of our lives as Christian people, we walk through a world which is filled with sin. We walk through a world which is contaminated, you could say, by sin. Now, of course, as Christians, we know we are called to walk according, you know, to the calling to which we are called. But the very fact that we're in a sinful world, you know, certain aspects of that world cannot help but rub off on us as the Lord's people. You know, sometimes in Zanesh, where we live, I go into the kitchen where they're cooking the meal. And, you know, they might be frying something. And this usually with frying, it's the worst. And I go in and I talk to Mila, who's in charge of the kitchen. Maybe we're discussing, you know, how much money is needed for the budget for next month. You know, I spend 2 or 3 minutes in there and I come out and I smell like I've been fried in the oil as well. You know, it permeates all your clothing. And as we walk through this world, the very nature of this world that we live in, even as Christians, tends to permeate our clothing. You know, what we go into the shop where they sell magazines and we see things there. We don't maybe willingly seek after those things, but we cannot help but see the defilement of this world. Maybe things that we hear on the radio or we see on television. These things can have a defiling effect on us as the Lord's people. Now, so how has God provided for us to keep us in fellowship and communion with Himself? You know, I believe that's what the Lord Jesus was speaking about here in John's Gospel, chapter 13. You know, when it came to Peter, Peter, of course, as we said, the Lord came to Peter, and Peter said, Lord, he said, I'm never going to wash your feet. He obviously thought straight away of who the Lord was and who he was, what the Lord had done for him. And he said, I'm not going to let you touch me in that way. You know, you're too great to wash my feet. But what does the Lord say to Peter? You know, those words are so important, they're so telling. The Lord says, Peter, he says, if you don't wash my feet, you can't have part with me. You know, dear brothers and sisters, today, as the Lord's people, as we walk through this world, unless we experience the constant washing which comes from God's word, and we know that the Bible is spoken about as the water of the word. If we go to Ephesians, for example, when Paul writes about the church, he says that, you know, the church is washed by the water of the word. Unless we have that washing day by day, our fellowship with the Lord Jesus will not be what it should be. Our communion with the Lord Jesus Christ will not be what it should be. You know, it's so important that we spend time, that we are occupied with God's word. If you go back to the Old Testament time, of course, we have a great illustration of this, don't we? Because if you go back to the tabernacle, in that tabernacle there was something that God commanded to be made, and it was called the laver. And when those priests, they came and they were to go in and they were to present themselves before God, the first thing that they had to do is they had to go and wash themselves at the laver. And they would wash off the dust and they'd wash off the defilement they had out in that dirty desert place. And then they could go and they could stand, they could go into the Holy of Holies. But if they didn't do that, there was no way that they could have fellowship. There could no way that they could appear before God. You know, it's the same with us as the Lord's people. We need that washing which comes from the word. You know, if you think of it in the spiritual sense, the application, I believe, of what the Lord was speaking about here, you know, our feet, in the spiritual sense, have contact with this dirty world that we live in, and we need them to be constantly washed so that we can have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm not speaking here of salvation. I'm speaking of fellowship. You know, in our relationship with God, we have those two links, don't we? We have the link of relationship. And nothing can break that link of relationship, praise God, because it's not based on anything that we can do. It's based on the work and the blood of Christ. Nothing can take away from that link of relationship. But the link of fellowship, the link of communion, is actually very fragile indeed. You know, we can grieve the Spirit, we can sin, we can be defiled by this world, and that can affect our communion, our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we need this washing of water by the Word. We need our feet washed, you could say, from the defilement of this world. And that, I believe, is what the Lord Jesus was teaching his disciples at this time. You know, as we come together on Sunday and we come to worship, how do we come? Do we come prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, sometimes I know from my own experience, and I come in and my mind is filled with so many other things. You know, I seem sometimes to have a very active mind. And it's so easy for me to think about everything else but what I should be thinking about. You know, sometimes even during the week I pick up the scripture and I start to read. And, you know, all of a sudden my mind is filled with, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. So many different things. It's hard to focus on the things that are most important in the life of a Christian, I find, for myself. But I think especially when we come together on the Lord's Day, we come to remember the Lord Jesus, we come to worship, we come to give praise and adoration to Him. Is our mind filled with Christ? Do we come prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? And can we go away at the end of the meeting and say, I have seen Jesus. I have seen the Lord Jesus, and He has spoken to me. You know, I believe that's what the Lord desires for each one of us. He wants us to see Him. He wants to speak to each one of our hearts. He wants us to be able to go away and to say that. And the fact that we don't see Him, if we haven't, is not because He is not here. He's promised, hasn't He, that where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I will be in the midst of them. But the fact that we don't see Him is not because He hasn't come. It's because we don't come with hearts prepared to meet Him. You know, I just want to leave that challenge with each one of us today as we are gathered together as a group of the Lord's people. The Lord physically washed the feet of His disciples. And I believe through that He was teaching us that as we pass through this world, we are defiled by this world. You know, maybe it's not a matter of actually sinning, but just being defiled by the world that we live in. And we need the constant cleansing which comes from the water of His Word. Do we spend time throughout the week with the Word of God? Because it's only that way that we can be cleansed from the sinfulness and the defilement of this world in which we live. And if we do that, if we're occupied with His Word, then we can come, I believe, with hearts prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be in our lives that we have that desire to hear His voice and to meet with Him whenever we can. You know, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, if you go back to the Psalms and you read some of the experiences of the psalmists. And I'm always amazed at those psalmists, what they wrote, because, you know, what they could experience in the intimacy of communion with God is nothing like we can experience today. You know, we have boldness to enter in before God because of the blood of Christ. And yet they could speak, you know, about saying, they could say, you know, to be in your courts is better than 1,000 days somewhere else. You know, isn't it amazing when you think of that? That's how much they desired to experience the presence of God. They knew that the presence of God was the ultimate, was the greatest thing that a person could experience. And I believe it's the same for us. If we could just get a grasp of the fact of how precious, how wonderful it is to have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, we would leave everything else, you know, beside. What the Lord said to Martha, you know, Martha, Martha, you are troubled about so many things, but Mary has chosen the better part. You know, I have to think about those words so much because, you know, involved in this work in Moldova, I'm not only thankful to be involved, but I do enjoy that work. And I'm not saying it's wrong to enjoy it, we should. But that can become sometimes more important than my communion, personal communion with the Lord Jesus. And it's so easy for things, good things, to come into our lives which can become more important than the Lord Jesus. Washed by the Word. Sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Learning from Him. You know, may we see those things as the priority in our walk with the Lord Jesus. You know, I believe, as I've said already, if we do that, we will hear His voice. We will see Him. Not physically, but we'll see Him with the eyes of faith. And you know, something else. Then we will truly be able to serve Him. You know, if we're not walking with the Lord Jesus day by day, if we're not in communion and fellowship with Him, we're never really going to be able to have His heart to serve, are we? You know, God wants servants who are in fellowship with Him, who are able to serve Him. Service should come out of our walk with Christ. So may it be so in our lives for the glory of God. And may we be walking and learning and growing in our love for the Lord Jesus day by day. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we do thank You for the opportunity that we've had to be together this morning. We thank You for the time we've had to be able to remember the Lord Jesus, the One who loved us unto death, the One who came from the heights of heaven, made Himself of no reputation, took the form of a servant, humbled Himself, and died on the cross of Calvary. And we just thank You, our God and Father, that You loved us so much that You would send the Lord Jesus into the world, into this world, to take away our sin. And we just pray today that as we go on in our lives here, we thank You that You have given us the privilege not only to know that our sins are forgiven, not only that to know that we have eternal life, but more than that, that You desire us to enjoy fellowship and communion with You day by day. We think of the words of the Lord Jesus, and He says that I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone opens to Me, that I will come in. And we know that this also speaks of the matter of fellowship, that you desire for us to have fellowship with You day by day and to walk nearby You day by day. And we just pray that as we have read these words today, that we might each, our God and Father, be desiring to walk near to the Lord Jesus, and that we might grow in our love and our affection for Him. We do pray that as we leave this place today, that You would go with us, and that You would keep us safe, and that You'd help us to be a good testimony for the Lord Jesus throughout this week. And we ask these things now, giving thanks in His precious and worthy name. Amen.